Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language. And sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to FP Presents TFC Three Questions. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
You okay, John?
Yeah, sorry, just a bit tired.
Tired of what? Football? MLS? Famous.
No, actually, from actual lack of sleep, so.
TFC's keeping up at night, is it?
Yeah, well, that and other things, so.
Well, it's three questions. TFC edition, they went again, lads. They went again. Another clean sheet as well on the weekend, this time against Atlanta. Although, it's a weird one, right? I don't like those international break weekends because I think there was over 100 players missing from the league. Atlanta had several players missing, JMO. And listen, a win's a win. Obviously, you take the points, of course. But and we discussed it last week about what the solution is. I don't know what the solution is, but it just seems those weekends kind of, they're missing something. You know what I mean? It seems that they're not legitimate. Not legitimate points when you're playing a team missing so many players.
Yeah, but as you said, Sherms, I don't know what the solution is. I mean, short of finding a way to sort of take the time off, you know, during the FIFA international windows, I don't know what the solution is. And as we outlined last week, I don't think that's going to happen for the foreseeable future just because it's a lot of games that MLS have to sort of get in into a very compressed sort of schedule of time, especially with the League's Cup essentially shutting things down for the summer. And as I mentioned, I don't know that there's a big appetite from MLS owners to play midweek games, right? I think it's, you know, they're going to draw much larger crowds on the weekends. And so I don't think there's a great deal of appetite throughout the league, honestly, for midweek games. And again, I'll mention this again. I don't think Apple, who are, you know, the broadcast rights holders, I don't think there's much impetus for them to sort of do midweek games as well, right? They like the idea of, you know, weekend games centered around like certain time slots. So it's a complicated situation that I don't think it's going to get resolved anytime soon.
And Jimmy, as an ex-player, you don't give a shit, do you, about sympathy for other teams being undermanned? Too bad, right?
No, you just want to win, pick up 3 points. You do not give a shit how many internationals they have away. You just want the results. That's all you're looking for.
And listen, 3 points now are as important as 3 points in September, October. So three more points for TFC. Today, the three questions are going to be how to replace Lorenzo Insigne. Are injuries a growing concern? And is Tyrese Spicer for real? So let's start with the big story emerging this week with Lorenzo Insigne. He's out with a hamstring, we think. Now, nothing mentioned by the club just yet, JMO. We were there at training yesterday, and he appeared on the sidelines in his flip-flops. He wasn't limping, but that doesn't mean anything, obviously. We don't know. He wasn't part of training. Have you heard anything at all regarding where we're at with his availability?
No, so as we talked to Alejandra Ruida, the TFC PR person yesterday, and she basically said that there's no update. You know, I would suspect that at some time this week he's going to get an MRI to so that the club can fully get to the bottom of just how serious you know this injury is, and you know how much if at all he's going to miss in terms of you know time away from the team. You know, you mentioned that he was at practice yesterday. He wasn't limping and he was kind of dressed, right? He had his kind of practice gear on, but that's not uncommon for injured players, to show up at practice like that. And they end up, you know, missing, you know, next week's game. So, yeah, I suspect we're going to find out within the next, you know, 48 hours, we'll suspect that the team is going to give us an update on, you know, whether he's had an MRI and what those results are. And then we'll have a good idea. Just exactly how much time he's going to miss. And I mean, I suspect he's going to at least miss this Saturday. The fact that he didn't train on Tuesday and that there wasn't a substantive update from the team leads me to believe that he's going to be out for at least this weekend's game against Kansas City at home.
Yeah, and likely getting treatment as well this week when we saw him as well, you would think. Hey, Jimmy, do you remember when Seba, he used to fly home for his scans,
yeah,
didn't he? Right. Is that commonplace in professional football to go to, I guess, your people as well as the club doctors?
Well, I think it's, in sports in general, you know, you find players fly all around the world to go see specialists. You know, even for instance, the basketball, Barnes ended up hurting his hand. He ended up flying out to LA with Alex McKechnie to get himself sorted. And you find that players, you know, even in England, used to fly over to Germany for certain operations to speed up the recovery. You knew things were going to get done properly. And, you know, and there's no difference. So, look, if Insigne has a specialist in Italy who's dealt with this specific injury, and as a club, you listen to it because you want that player that you're paying an awful lot of money for to get back playing as quick as possible. But with Insigne, I mean, look, at the end of the day, you hope it's a tweak. You hope he caught it early enough where he didn't really do too much damage, where he's going to be out for a long period of time. Mm. You hope it's one of those where he kind of felt it a little bit and it might be just a tweak where maybe he's only out for 2 weeks or so, but definitely 100%. He will not be playing this week. I'd be totally surprised if this guy was going to play this weekend. But hopefully it's just a minor injury that they can manage and make sure that he's back on track relatively soon.
You know, just before this podcast drops today, there'll be a press release coming out, right? We'll finish recording and then it'll come out. It's bound to happen. But your hammies are weird things, right, Jimmy? I mean, if you've torn your hamstring, you know about it straight away. Often there's bruising. You're not walking properly for a while with a torn hamstring. And that keeps you out, obviously, potentially months. I mean, to play doctor here, I mean, if you see a guy walking around without a limp, that suggests perhaps, like you said, more of a tweak, does it? Or should we just not go in there right now?
Like if he's walking and there's no limp and he's not really struggling with it, you hope it's just a little tweak. And the thing is, too, you know, the older and more experience you get in the game, because you've had so many injuries, you know your body. And if you feel that little tweak or you feel it about to pop, then you just come off. Whereas when you're younger, you try to play through it because you don't really understand your body and the biomechanics and how everything works. And you're thinking, okay, maybe I can run this off. And all of a sudden it's too late and you've just torn the muscle and you're out even longer. So I'm expecting that he's probably just realized, oh, this is a tweak. And if I keep going now, I can make it even worse. So get me off. And I think it's a better sign that he's not limping or he's on crutches anyways, walking around the training ground.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty, to your point, Jimmy, I mean, when it happened, right, late in the first half, wasn't like he knew, right? I mean, instantly he sort of motioned to the bench saying, look, yeah, you got to get me off the pitch. And he had to be helped off with two trainers, you know, not only off the pitch, but, you know, back down to the tunnel to the locker room. So I think he knew and, you know, fair play to him for not trying to sort of play on and being smart about it and, you know, realizing, look, I got to get off the pitch and limit any potential sort of long-term damage here.
So JMO, regardless whether he's out for a week or a month or whatever, how do you replace Lorenzo Insigne? Well, I guess the easy answer is you don't replace him.
Right.
What is the next step, though? What do you do? Who's going to step into that role?
Yeah, I mean, as you said, obviously you can't sort of replace someone of his quality and experience and what he brings to the table. But, you know, it does open the door for, you know, maybe some of the team's younger players to possibly step into that role. I mean, I thought Tyrese Spicer, aside from the goal that he scored against Atlanta, was probably man of the match for Atlanta. I mean, he was looking really lively, you know, playing down that left side. I thought defensively too. I mean, if I remember correctly, he had made a couple of blocks and interceptions and had a tackle, and was someone that John Herdman mentioned after the game that, you know, he was so happy for him to get the goal, but, you know, called out his sort of work on the other side of the ball. So, I mean, we'll get into this later, but I suspect, you know, coming off that performance against Atlanta, I could see him filling in that role. The other possibility would be Jaquiel Marshall-Ruddy, right? I mean, we've kind of long been saying that, you know, he needs sort of regular playing time and he needs opportunities. And, you know, if Lorenzo was out for any length of time, then this could be a golden opportunity for Jaquiel to get a steady run of minutes and play important minutes too, right? This isn't like him coming on in the second half with 20 minutes to go when they're up 2-0. It's starting games right from the opening kickoff and being responsible to sort of help spearhead the attack. So it's a potential golden opportunity for Jaquiel to sort of get some minutes and really prove what he can do.
I agree with J-Maw there. You know, that as a, I mean, I can just only relate to, you know, back when I was a younger player, when I was watching the first team play and I was waiting in the wings, waiting for my opportunity to come. And there was players that were, you know, that were better than me, that were, had longer contracts, and I had to wait for specific moments to get in. And when a player went down injured, as bad as it may sound, when you're that young player that's waiting to get in and eager to show what you can do, you're kind of like rubbing your hands going, yes, now's my opportunity. Now's my opportunity. And I mean, look, you don't wish bad on anybody, but that's the only time you really get in is when someone gets injured. So now Insigne is out. Now it's an opportunity for these young guys to say, okay, now I want to put a stamp on this team. I want to show the manager what I can do as a player. And now's my opportunity. And if he's out for 3-4 weeks, well, that might be 4 to 6 games that I'm going to get here. And I want to hold on to that position and I want to show my worth. And, you know, these are the moments that you wait for as a young player. So, but now it's up to these younger guys to grasp this opportunity and take it with both hands.
Yes, funny that no one likes to admit that when they're playing there, they're happy for a teammate to get injured. But like you said, Jimmy, there's a part of you as a younger player. It's like, okay, great. I got a chance now to show my stuff. Luca Gavran, I interviewed him yesterday, actually, for my Toronto Star column. He was talking about he's benefited from 2 injuries to Sean Johnson. Late last year, of course, he got his first chance at the big show when Johnson got hurt. And Romero played a couple of games, and then in comes Luca Gavran, and he played great. You know, yeah, gave some goals up, but played really well to the point where he was the number 2 to start this season. And again, Johnson gets hurt, in he steps, 3 wins out of 4 games, 2 clean sheets. And he says you have to always be ready, right? When that door opens, you got to step through it. It's as simple as that.
And no player's going to turn around and go, yeah, I was praying that he was going to get injured.
No, but deep down, some guys are, aren't they?
Now that I'm retired, I can say that. Players want you to get injured so that they can get in there and get the job.
Hey, listen, once upon a time, Danny Dicchio, you know, got a job coaching in the States, you know, and Jimmy Brennan, who had been sitting there waiting, staring at his phone for a phone call from myself or Craig Forrest or Dan Wong, and that phone rang. And guess what, Jimmy? Deitch, he's left the podcast. There's a spot opened up, and like Jimmy jumped through that door.
There you go.
Was so happy about it.
Straight into his grave, and look how happy I am now.
Jesus Christ. If only you didn't pick up that phone, eh, Jimmy? It could all be so different right now.
I shouldn't have answered it when I knew you guys were calling.
But yeah, opportunity, right? And like, you know, there is a lot of injuries, it seems, at this club right now. Is it a growing concern, J-Mo? Is there a turf issue at training? Is it just bad luck? What is it?
I wish I knew. I mean, when you look at it, I mean, it's all the hamstring issues too that have come up. It's like Lorenzo and Sean Johnson and Nixon Gomez, or sorry, and Richie Larea. It's like, oh my God. You know, I don't know, but like they have to sort of get to the bottom of this. I mean, I can remember last summer when they made the coaching change, when, you know, Bob Bradley was fired. You know, President Bill Manning talked about wanting to get a proper sports science sort of department going, right? And to look at all these injuries and find out what's going on. So, you know, it's been more than 6 months and it doesn't seem like, you know, in terms of the injury situation, it's really improved. It's players are getting injured at an alarming rate. So they really have to get at the bottom of this. To answer your other question, yeah, this is like a serious injury crisis that they're dealing with. I mean, set aside Lorenzo and Shane O'Neill, who we didn't even mention, who picked up a concussion, and he was at training yesterday too, but didn't sort of practice. So, I mean, I suspect he's going to be probably stuck in concussion protocol for this weekend. But aside from that, you're talking about Larea, who's going to be out until, you know, what, June? Sean Johnson practiced yesterday, so it looks like he might come back within the next 2 weeks. But Nixon Gomes is going to be out for a month. Raul Petretta is going to be out for a few more weeks. Brandon Cervani is out until June. You know, it's just staggering that the number of injuries that this team has gotten. So, yeah, I mean, when you tack on Lorenzo and potentially Shane O'Neill out for some time, then, you know, those are a lot of key players that are going to be missing, and not just like one or two games, but they're going to be sidelined for a significant amount of time. So I don't think there's any question that this team is, you know, much like it was throughout much of last year, is mired in a mounting injury crisis at the moment.
Yeah, this is something, though, J-Mo, that you look at as a manager and you think, okay, what did we do for preseason? Have we managed these players properly? Because, you know, the first number of weeks at the beginning of the season, if you start getting players with the same injuries that continue to happen, then you haven't done something right in preseason. Something's gone wrong, right? And it's on your preparation that you've done during that preseason. And they've got to go back now and they've got to look at it and think, where did we go wrong? And they've got to sit with the physios. They've got to sit with the sports science individuals and say, how is this possible? Because it shouldn't be happening. This many injuries should not be happening if you're well prepared during a preseason.
But these are experienced football people behind the scenes, coaches, managers, you know, physios, staff. They're not doing anything different, you wouldn't think, to any other club. Could it just be bad luck? Simple as that?
No, everybody does something different at preseason. For sure they do. Right? Because you believe in your own sports science and your periodization, how you're going to do your macrocycles, microcycles, everything that you're going to put into place. And if you've put that together and you start the season and you've got all these injuries, well, then your practice hasn't worked. It's wrong.
So I'm still stunned that there wasn't a proper sports science department at TFC.
Yeah.
And maybe they still isn't. I mean, when that comment was made, that rang a bell. Like, how is that possible? MLSC, with all the money they put towards this club, what they're spending on footballers, to not have that in place. It's crazy. The Raptors do. The Leafs do. Argos, I have no idea about. Probably not. But they got high-profile people in those departments. I mean, Alex McKechnie, you mentioned there, Jimmy, with the Raptors.
He's the best.
He began in football. That's where he started.
I'll tell you now, Sharms, he's the best in the business. And you look at the Raptors. Look at over the years how they manage players. They monitor players. Their injuries are next to none throughout a year. I've pulled muscles and everything because their preparation is bang on. I mean, if I'm TFC, I'm calling Alex McKechnie every day saying, what do I need to do? I've got these players. I've invested an awful lot of money. Please help me. Let's put a program together. Tell me what you're doing over there because you seem to have it right. And we're struggling a little bit here. And he's a part of the family. And I'm sure, you know, behind the scenes, he might be involved to a certain extent. But I would be begging him to come over and help.
Well, especially with all these soft tissue injuries, right? I mean, like you said, Jimmy, I mean, it's three guys with like hamstring injuries. And we're talking like, you know, barely a month into the season. Like, I don't know how that happens unless, like you said, it's poor preparation through or doing something that's not optimum during the preseason camp. It shouldn't be happening. I mean, okay, like hamstring issues, I mean, they're going to happen. And, you know, during the course of the season, the full course of the season, you can probably understand that. But for three bang in a row, you know, and we're not even through March, you know, I don't know how that happens unless they're just doing like something wrong there.
And through the highest profile players too. That's why, you know, it's just magnified, isn't it? These are three important players who are out for, well, who knows? Like I said, hopefully Johnson's back pretty soon. Who knows about Lorenzo and Richie? Like I said, 3 months with the surgery there. Mm-hmm. So it's something to look at for sure. On the bright side, I guess you get a chance to see what you have with the kids there. Jimmy, how big a jump is it from TFC2 to the senior team? We saw a number of players do it last season, and they actually play pretty well, most of them, in a tough situation. But how big a jump is it for these kids?
Yeah, it's a big jump. It's a big jump. You know, it's everything, Sharms. It's not just the speed of play when you get to that next level. You know, you've gone from TFC2 where maybe you get, you know, 30 people watching the game to all of a sudden now getting 25,000 people watching the game. And now you're walking out of the tunnel and these games mean something now. There's a livelihood here. You know, players need to get in the playoffs. They might have bonuses. And now you there's expectation for you as a young player to come into that team and produce. It's an awful lot that it takes out of you, not just physically, but also mentally. It's demanding. And these guys got to learn quick. Yeah, last year, it was terrible. I don't agree with what they did because I felt they threw those young players in the deep end and they were forced to swim. And with young players like that, you've got to nurture them. You know, give them their moments. Make sure that they are successful and help them out any way that you can. There was far too many young guys that played way too many minutes for a first year for me. And I think it affected quite a few of these young players. But again, this year, I think you've got a decent squad and you can kind of manage that a little bit, provided you don't continue to get those injuries that you had maybe like last year. But it's important that you do nurture and look after these young players as they start getting into the rigors of life as a first team player.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
Well, one young player getting a chance, as mentioned earlier, is Tari Spicer, the number one overall pick from the draft, whatever that means nowadays. But he's getting his chance, isn't he? He's getting his minutes and perhaps more minutes, depending on Insigne's diagnosis there. JMO, he looks very good. Is he for real, or do we just have to give him a season? Because that's too much to put on any kid at this point.
Oh, I think we have to give him a season. I mean, it's, you know, it's a very small sample size that we're talking about here so far, right? He came on in the 75th minute against New York in the 2-1 loss at Yankee Stadium. And I thought he looked pretty good. I mean, he delivered that fantastic ball deep into the heart of the box that Iowa Akinola should have buried, but didn't. And then, you know, he did well enough that he earned a start, his first MLS start, you know, last week against Atlanta, played the full 81 minutes. And again, on both sides of the ball, I thought he was, you know, probably TFC's strongest player, took his scoring chance really well off a setup from DeAndre Kerr. So, you know, there's a level of maturity and poise there for someone who, you know, only has two professional games under his belt. So I think it looks certainly promising, but I would stop well short of saying he's the real deal yet. I mean, he's played, 95 minutes so far in his pro career. I appreciate everyone's excited and, you know, they're all amped up about him, but let's just tone it down a little bit and let's see. I mean, the early signs are certainly promising and it does offer some promise for the future. But again, I think it's just too... It's far too early to make any sort of bold proclamations just yet.
He was a surprise pick too, wasn't he, first overall? People didn't expect him to go that high.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like wrote about that today. So I looked into it, and I looked at like a lot of the top MLS mock drafts. He was certainly going to be a top 10 pick, because I think the mock draft on the league's website had him at number 9. But no one had him going top 5. It was kind of in that 6 to 10 range. So, but, you know, good for him. I mean, he seems to be a quality player and a quality person, too, from everything that John Herdman is and Jason Hernandez has said. So we'll see where this goes for him.
Jimmy, remember when Mo Adu was picked first overall in your first year? Yeah. And Mo actually had a good first year. I thought a pretty tasty player. Got a chance at Rangers, I think it was, wasn't it, the year after?
Yeah, he went to Rangers. I think it was for $5.5 million that they ended up selling him for. Mo Adu was brilliant. You know, he's just such an athlete. Great footballer. And, you know, I think it also helped that Mo Johnson had very strong connections to Rangers Football Club as well. And, you know, he put him on a plate for them and said, hey, listen, there's a great kid here that could probably play at that next level and have a fantastic career in Europe. And sure enough, he did. So you never know with a spice. Look, he's only played, a handful of games as well in USL2, I think it was, with Tennessee and is it Des Moines? I think
Des Moines.
He had a couple of games with them. And now he's breaking into MLS. So now it's another jump up for him, right? But I like what I see out of the kid. I think he's got a good frame. I like his pace, his balance, the way he sees the game. And if he continues on this path, yeah, it's only 2 games. We're not getting excited. But there is potential. And I think we all see the potential in this kid. And it's up to the TFC now and John and the staff to manage this player now and continue pushing him forward.
Yeah, he's got an interesting profile in terms of what he brings to the pitch. Because, I mean, John, after the game, and maybe, you know, in retrospect, this puts a little bit more pressure on Spicer. But he said, you know, kind of not exactly compared him to Tejan Buchanan, but said kind of reminded him a little bit of Tejan. And, you know, he sort of has that same directness in terms of, you know, wanting to take defenders on. And I think he said he wants to see the white of their eyes as he runs right at them. So, you know, that's a good, you know, in terms of players to pattern yourself on or be like, I mean, that's not a bad choice. But whether, again, I agree with Jim, whether, you know, whether he'll eventually become sort of like the real deal is far too soon to tell at this point.
Yeah, but fans can be excited, Jamer. It's okay. It's been so little to be happy about for a long time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All I'm saying is just, you know, temper it down a little bit. Don't, like, let's not get ahead of ourselves. That's all I'm
saying. You're saying 95 minutes isn't long enough to judge a player?
No, I'm not.
Up against Kansas.
I'll go on record as saying 95 minutes is not enough to judge a player.
What is, okay, Jimmy, you tell me as ex, you know, player, captain, head coach, like at what point do you know what a player is? How many games do you need to see from a kid?
180 minutes.
Big game coming up then is what you're saying.
Yeah, massive game for this kid.
It's make or break.
Make or break. No, you know what? The thing is, you'll see potential in a player, and you'll like certain attributes, and then it's up to you now to push him, but at the same time, allow him to express himself, because that's when players play at their best, when they're comfortable, and they walk up to that pitch. Look, at the end of the day, a footballer, you're an entertainer. Your theater is that pitch. And you've got to be able to go out there and express yourself and entertain the fans and play with confidence. And if he's got confidence right now and he's enjoying his football, it's up to you now to keep that momentum going. Because if he can continue to build that confidence, he's going to get better and better and stronger and enjoy his football even more. So that's the part as a manager that you've really got to kind of nurture and keep an eye on just to keep them going forward. And at the same time, the player's got to be willing to learn. If they're not willing to learn and they don't respect the game, then they're not going to go anywhere. The minute that you think you know everything, you're finished. So if he can have that mentality where, you know what, I want to be the best player, but I'm going to be very open-minded and I want to learn off the players I'm with, off the staff, off everybody involved in football, then he's got an opportunity to be successful and get to that level where he wants to go.
You know what it kind of reminds me of, Sharms? Do you remember when Wayne Rooney broke through at Everton? David Moyes was kind of took a very sort of pragmatic approach with him, right? I mean, like Jimmy said, he wanted to you know, Wayne to sort of express himself and to go out there and do his thing. But he was also kind of, you know, careful about how, you know, bringing him along slowly and everything and using him in certain situations. So I can't help but wonder if maybe John Hughes takes a page out of, you know, David Moyes' book. I mean, Rooney was a little bit younger, obviously. I mean, Tyrese is 23, so it's not exactly apples and oranges or apples and apples. But I do think I wonder if there is something there in terms of the way you know, brings them along in a similar way that Moyes did with Rooney.
By the way, I haven't been to training much this year, or even last year especially, but I noticed that there was a white SUV Rolls-Royce in the parking lot. It's either a Rolls-Royce or a Bentley. It's got to be either Lorenzo's or Bernardeschi's. I'm going to say it's Bernardeschi's. Do you know whose it was, Jimmy?
I don't think it's Bernardeschi's, because I think he, if I remember correctly, he drives... because I saw him in the parking lot one time and he was driving like a black car. It wasn't white. So
okay, there was a black Porsche, beautiful Porsche in front of the roller.
Oh, that might have been Bernardeschi's then.
Okay, so then it's got to be Insigne's then, right?
One would think.
No, no one else in that team's buying a SUV Rolls Royce, are they?
I wouldn't think so.
Jimmy's shaking his head. Hey, listen, if I was making that much money, I might buy myself a nice car. Might not be a white Rolls Royce SUV, but it'll be a nice ride.
I tell you what, I would wait till I was performing week in and week out before I bought myself that. When things just start going really, really well for me, then I'd go buy that.
So, Jim, did you ever have like a flash car when you were a player? Or I'm guessing not.
Did I ever have one?
Yeah.
Yeah, you must have, but you did.
I had, yeah, I had a Mercedes.
Oh, okay.
Not a Ferrari or a Rolls Royce or anything.
No. And Merck, that's fair enough. That's I wouldn't say it's understated, but it's understated enough. It's not being seen as a big time Charlie.
No, yeah. But I wasn't flashy. I wasn't that guy.
Didn't Julian have a Hummer?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
he had a big Hummer, didn't he? Yeah,
did he have a Lamborghini? Maybe I'm remembering it incorrectly. Didn't he have a Lamborghini too?
I remember.
Yeah,
probably Jules at him. Yeah, that's the guy probably.
I seem to remember him having like a Lamborghini, but maybe,
really,
yeah.
I don't remember that. But it wouldn't surprise me. Hey, why not? Why not? He made a lot of money at Deportivo, I think, possibly.
Yeah.
Well. Anyway, so Spicer will get some minutes, I'm sure, this weekend. Though they play Kansas City. Kansas, one win on the season so far, three draws and a loss. So not exactly playing great football, but we'll discuss that and more next week. JMO, tfcrepublic.ca, what do you want to tout for this week?
Well, I did a pretty extensive interview with Alonso Cuello recently. So that story went up yesterday. It's just a really long Q&A. It's really fascinating because he talks about, you know, his expectations for this season. And he speaks openly about, you know, he wants to become one of the best midfielders in MLS. So, you know, I like that attitude. I think Toronto could kind of use more of that.
I like him too. Good player. Yeah. He's got a little bit of something to him, doesn't he?
He does. There's a story today that I wrote on Tyrese Spicer. So that's up. And then, you know, we'll be looking ahead to the Wizards this weekend's match against Kansas City as well. So, yeah, always fresh content on the website.
TFCRepublic.ca. Subscribe now. And don't forget, we got a ton more MLS coming up throughout the week on Footy Prime, the podcast. We have MLS Box to Box. That's been recorded on Thursday, as well as Three Questions, Whitecaps, coming off a loss, of course, and Dubs taped Three Questions with Montreal on Tuesday. So that and everything else on the site and, of course, on our website, wearefootyprime.com. Till next time, thanks, fellas, for chatting.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Bett. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Beauty. Good show, boys. That was great.
Good job.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.